Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Max Power with us. We're glad you're with us. However it is you're with us, whether it's on KFH, over the air, the good old-fashioned way, 97.5 FM, 1240 AM, whether you are watching us on our video streams available to you on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, or listening to us on the Odyssey app, live or on demand, we appreciate it, no matter how you tune in. And we're glad to have you here for what should be a fun Wednesday program. We've got all kinds of fun stuff coming up. A wild finish in the Royals game last night. More very close competitive NBA playoff games. These NBA playoffs have been fantastic. The NHL playoffs roll forward. We're trying to get on board with all of that, as well as watch the baseball we love to watch, follow the portal talk. We've got a big NFL trade to get to as well today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Like you mentioned, a lot to get to on the show today. A busy evening last night, and especially when it comes to the Royals. I mean, that was about as entertaining an ending of a game that you can get. And so I'm looking forward to getting into it today.
It was something. I had people texting me wondering if the White Sox were, you know, throwing the game, the Black Sox or something, because that was just a weird ninth inning.
You're like, nope, that's just the White Sox.
Yeah. Nope. They just are running out of AAA roster. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I decided last night that we're going to go ahead and bring that back, Tommy. So I should have texted you, but it was late. So if you could get your Hawaiians in rotation, Max, next week, if you could be ready to roll for Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, that'd be great. We're back, baby. We're getting ready for the summer. Why not?
You think I have Hawaiian shirts in my rotation. Or even own any at all, and I don't. I mean, I think I have one, and I've broken it out on the program a while ago, and it's pretty, like, muted. It's pretty subdued, but I've got one. I know you have, like, 50, so you'll have to wear them on my behalf.
Yeah, I can't believe after trying to give me fashion advice last week, you say you don't have Hawaiian shirts. What kind of fashion sense is that? You're a dad now, you know? And do you hate the sun? Do you hate fun? Get you some Hawaiians. It's liberating.
Yeah, it's 55 degrees outside and about to rain. And so
I got lectured last week for wearing a flannel shirt last week when it was.
It would have been
degrees,
a little bit more, you know, I think appropriate today to wear your flannel as opposed to a Hawaiian.
It was 50 degrees last week when I wore that flannel shirt.
But it was sunny and a nice day. Like it was just chilly. Like it's rainy, dreary, cold, all of that. Today
but we're gonna celebrate the summer anyway because it's close. Max, bring yours next week. This is your warning week. We're starting a movement here, whether you participate or not. Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays are back, so glad to have that back. We'll give away some HTO. Speaking of sunshine, a little bit later in the show as well. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win there. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee this morning for getting us energized and fueled up with a great cup of coffee all across the Odyssey family. We'll get to the Royals when we return, Tommy. That was wild. I think if you missed what I thought was going to be the most significant Royals news yesterday, Jack Caglione against the Wind Surge, two home runs, two opposite field home runs. There's a video, I think it was from MILB that did like a ground level shot of one of them. And the sound of the ball coming off of his bat is wild. He is destroying Double-A pitching right now. His OPS is over 1,000. His batting average is much higher than I thought it would be. Tommy, he's been a better Double-A hitter than Bobby Witt Jr. was. So J.J. Piccolo talked about it on Monday. Right, he was asked about it. And I think the question was more about getting called up to Triple-A. But Piccolo's answer is basically they're taking their time. They're not ruling anything out, but they're taking their time. And they consider the minor leagues the minor leagues, which basically is him telling us we don't really care if it's Double-A or Triple-A, which I agree with, by the way. I think he's going to skip. I don't know that they're going to be able to hold him down. We've got the service time thing, I think, has all passed. But he's the same age. I think, in fact, he's a little older than Bobby Witt Jr. was. He's hitting the ball better at that level than Bobby Witt Jr. was at the time. And they have more of a need on the big league roster for him than those teams that Bobby Witt Jr. was called up to that weren't very good. So there's not like a track record to leave him back. The only problem is the same problem we've had, and it's that he's a first baseman. He played first base again yesterday, still just a couple of games in the outfield, but it's a good problem to have if you're the Royals fan, but the number six pick from last year is killing it now in Double-A.
The one thing I would disagree with you on all of that is when you say that there wasn't a need when Bobby Witt Jr. was in that area because those teams were not very good. They absolutely needed Bobby Witt Jr.
Right. They needed
in that
a good
time.
Player.
They needed a good player on the roster. I think with Jack Caglione, the one thing, it'd be different if, you know, the really bad stretch of baseball where the bats were completely silenced during that road trip and you know, outside of that when the Royals were not playing well, had that extended on to what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, then I think the calls would be even louder to get quick with Jack Caglione and bring him up a whole lot sooner. I think that the good thing right now is that the Royals continue to win. Are they lighting the world on fire offensively? No, they're not. But they're continuing to win. They're, again, still the hottest team in Major League Baseball. And so you do have the luxury a little bit to continue to have Caglione get ready down in the minors. I'm with J.J. Piccolo. I don't really care whether it's Double-A or Triple-A. In fact, I think sometimes Double-A, you're going to get more of those, you know, future big leaguers ready to go. That's kind of been historically the place for Double-A baseball compared to Triple-A baseball. And so I'm okay if they want to keep him in Northwest Arkansas. I do have a suspicion probably sooner rather than later they will bump him up to Omaha, although, I'm not sure it really particularly matters one way or the other. And it is a good problem for them to have. I do think that until we start seeing the Royals directly losing ball games because of a lack of offense, at that point they do have the luxury to continue to have Jack Caglione get ready to go in the minors.
Yeah, look, you and I disagree a little bit on the urgency of the struggles of the offense, which struggled again last night against the White Sox.
They're winning ball games. They're winning these games.
But I can't just ignore that when they were playing really good teams, they weren't winning those games when the offense struggled. I'm glad that they're winning games. I'm glad they're taking advantage of a soft schedule. I love that that's happening. And I think that they're capable of winning lots of games with a bad offense. But I can't ignore what happened when they played a bunch of really good teams.
I mean, you know, they win last night on a Bobby Witt Jr. walk-off. And the top story is Jack Caglione hitting two home runs in Double-A. Like,
It's not the top story. It's just the story we can fit in the 3 or 4 minutes we have in this segment. The top story is that they won again, which we'll get to in the next segment. But before we do that, in a shorter opening segment, I did want to mention Caglione because Royals fans should be fired up. So Bobby Witt Jr. did spend time in AAA. He was 21, so he was a year younger, but he got the call when he was 22. He started the year in the big leagues that year of 2022. He was also tearing the cover off the ball at Northwest Arkansas. He was very, very good there in 2021, but he got the call almost exactly halfway through the season to go up to AAA Omaha. So that's what happened with Bobby Witt Jr. If we're trying to look at track records or anything else that they might do, that's what they did with Bobby Witt. Maybe that's the plan with Jack Caglione. I don't know. But if you're a Royals fan, good news. He's adjusting just fine to Double-A pitching. We'll come back. Let's do talk about that win last night. What is that wacky music? Cue that wacky music for the ninth inning for the White Sox. It was crazy. We'll be back. We'll talk about it next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. We are glad to be with you. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. We've got a big trade in the NFL. We've got playoff basketball, playoff hockey, all kinds of stuff to get to. Let's continue this Royals conversation. Really, we'll start it. We mentioned Cags' day yesterday. The Royals get another win, an extra innings last night. Or not extra innings, sorry, the ninth inning last night. It was a weird one. It was going to be a frustrating game. They just couldn't get any runs going again. Seth Lugo was good. I mean, he didn't blank the White Sox, which has kind of been like the expectation for these starters. But he was good. Zerpa was not that good. And so they go into the ninth inning, Tommy, trailing 3-2-2. And then the wheels fall off for the White Sox. And it's just like a comedy of errors. They couldn't make any plays. Two official errors. I think it should have been three, probably. And Bobby Witt Jr. walks it off. And the Royals get another win. And you got to have those kinds of games. And so they stay white hot. The streak, I guess, continues to some degree. But they sit here and they go in. And now they got a chance to win that series. It's four wins in a row. It's 7 out of the last 8. It's 11 out of the last. No, sorry. It's... let's see, it's 13 out of the last 15. Like, they are on fire. And last night, and probably, I think for the first time in this run, they get a little help. That was a game they shouldn't have won, but they took advantage. And you got to have those too, because the White Sox, that was a ball off the head on a pop fly, a misplayed bunt, and a misplayed, pretty easy routine ground ball to second base. Like, it was the White Sox. Man, the White Sox suck. But the Royals take advantage. Got to have them. And the Royals get the win 4-3. Bobby Witt Jr. walks it off and they get more good pitching.
Yeah, I think a couple things, you know, to keep in mind from the game last night to point out. You mentioned Seth Lugo. While it wasn't dominating, it was still a quality start. And he kept the Royals in the game. Kept the Royals in the game. You know, was able to pitch almost through 7 and was able to shorten the game for the bullpen a little bit. And so, you know, even though it wasn't his, you know, usual, you know, I guess domination from what we saw a year ago and so far this year, he still kept the Royals right in the game. Then another guy that really hasn't been talked about a whole lot, and he's kind of been a spot contributor from time to time this season, is Mark Canha. And he started the comeback. I mean, it really was a great at-bat by him to start off the ninth inning, to be able to get everything rolling a little bit. And the fact that you've got a veteran bat on the bench that can come in and pinch hit, give you a spot start, you know, every now and then in the outfield or whatever that looks like, that was a really good quality at-bat for him and an opportunity to kind of set the table for everything else that played out in the ninth inning. And I don't feel like he gets a ton of credit or really gets a ton of attention, you know, like he did earlier in his career. But he's been, I think, a good veteran presence so far on this roster.
I agree. And it was tongue in cheek. I think Lugo was great last night. I mean, a run in 6 2/3. It's just like he didn't blank him, right? So he didn't hold them to nothing, and that allowed him to get the lead. But they keep winning, and they have to keep winning these games while they sort things out and try to become a better offense, and they are. And that's what you love to see. The schedule in May stays pretty soft, and then in June it gets much more difficult. So it's going to be important in these early parts of the seasons that you do what you're supposed to do at minimum. And then they've got to go get some other stuff in there as well. So the Royals get that win, they get going, and it's a weird one, but you'll take it. You'll absolutely take it. Rodney, great friend of the show and Odyssey colleague here, who's a huge Royals fan, says, Zerpa still gives me stomach acid, though. Yeah, he wasn't very good last night. He gave up a lot of traffic again, but, you know, Rodney, let's be careful, because they've got like 5 guys who are good and who are pitching really well. All right. We've got Kevin Saul here. It's been a few minutes since we've talked to Kevin. Now, let me do this on the fly here. We're going to add Kevin, who I believe can hear us right now. Kevin, can you hear us? We're going to make sure we can hear you here.
I'm with you guys. Thanks.
There we go. Hey, Kevin.
Thanks for your patience and my technical navigation here this morning.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a minute. It's been a busy time for you guys. I'm glad we were able to connect. I know it's been Fast and furious for you guys with what's happening. I think, you know, the basketball program has been the program in the headline. You guys have sent out some letters. You've really been pretty blunt with the fan base of what you guys need. And it comes, our visit comes on the heel of, and I don't even know how much you guys are allowed to talk about this yet, but another addition of a player that seems to fit well, just in general term. Are you allowed to talk about specifics until everything is signed in? I know that that gets a little confusing in the portal era.
Well, it does get confusing. And I think for some of our fan base, and understandably so, I think it can get a little annoying as well, Jacob. It's there are certain rules about when specific documents are signed, you can start talking about individuals, and that is not the case with the individual that was announced yesterday. So, but obviously we're moving forward in a positive direction, filling out the roster on our men's side. I spent about an hour and a half with Coach Nooner here in the last couple of weeks as well, and like where we're headed from a women's roster perspective and improvements there. And that's the key, guys. We've got to show some direction, some forward momentum in terms of improvement and progress in both of those programs and all of our programs.
Kevin, you've been pretty open, you know, over the last few months, and actually from day one, about the importance of NIL, the importance of having, you know, the fan base, the donor base, really rally around the programs and just the athletic department in general. And most recently, you know, you basically set a goal and drew a line in the sand and said, hey, this is what we need to be competitive, at least with basketball, men's basketball, at the national level. How is that process coming along? What's been the reaction that you've heard from the various stakeholders that you deal with?
Well, let's just be really transparent about it. It's an unsavory component of college athletics for most folks. It certainly is the environment that we're in right now. And so where we find ourselves so often, Tommy, is managing a tension. And I truly believe that it is a tension. It's not necessarily a problem to solve. There's a tension that exists between the left hand, which might have some dislike and or disdain for where we are in college athletics, and then at the same time, in the right hand, most folks want you to be positioned to win championships. Well, you've got to come to a reconciliation on the left hand, have a growth mindset in terms of adapting to the current environment if we're going to expect championships that are over in the right hand. And hopefully that makes sense. But it's a dynamic that we live and communicate in every single day. And I think it's really important that we approach that with an inspirational vision of invitation and not pleading, right? We're not here to plead. We're not here to get folks to do something that they just don't feel right about. But at the end of the day, we desire to develop young people and programs and win championships. That's it. And in this current environment, that's really important. So we outlined some specifics with men's basketball. We believe we're incredibly competitive within our league. And I think we will consistently see that moving forward. We've got some work to do if we're going to expect to make the second weekend in the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16. You guys will recall this past tournament, it was all Power Four and Big East. So we've got some work to do, and I know that's the expectation of Shocker Nation, is that we get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, and that's what we're focused on doing.
Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, joining it. Appreciate a few minutes with him during a pretty chaotic time across college sports with the transfer portal. A lot of teams dealing with football, certainly the Shockers in basketball. I guess we could ask you then, Kevin, you guys put it out there for fans. You're looking for $1 million to be competitive. Since that's gone out, has the fan base, has the, you know, the donor base responded to what you guys need? Do you feel like in the process here?
I feel like we've engaged in numerous educational conversations. So we've got a slide deck that when we meet with folks, we'll kind of walk through direction and intended destination with our basketball program. We've obviously stripped the dollar figures out of the presentation, but you can see the growth of roster resources, formerly NIL and now revenue share. You can see that over the last two or three years, and it's significant. We referenced in our letter 518% from two or three years ago. So There's been significant growth. We have a pretty good idea where we're positioned within our league, and we've got a decent idea where we're positioned nationally. And I think walking through that slide deck helps to educate folks on where we are. And yes, there have been some successes in that, but I think this is a journey that truly never reaches the finish line. We're going to continue to educate. We're going to continue to align interest and abilities of our donors in where and how they want to support our young people. And we'll keep moving forward.
Kevin, you guys had a pretty special occasion over the weekend in honoring Gene Stephenson and putting his name on the ballpark there at X Stadium. Obviously, anybody that's been in Wichita, you know, for any period of time knows the impact that Coach Stephenson had on Wichita State as a whole, the community of Wichita, the national championship run, all of that with baseball here in Wichita. What did that mean for you, for the staff, for anybody associated with the baseball program to be able to honor Gene Stephenson that way?
Well, it means the world. All you have to do is look in the eyes and the faces of the family, right? The Stephenson family that lived that journey, that coalesced all those people and all of that support to build a national powerhouse from nothing, to, you know, everything that he's done. And it's really well documented. So for us to caretake and have an opportunity to honor that is an honor for us. But at the end of the day, it comes down to Gene, the staff, the literally thousands of student athletes that have been a part of that program over his years, and the community of Wichita. It's really, we're honoring all those folks. And Gene's just incredibly gracious, continues to be a good friend. And I agree with you, Tommy, but I would expand it. You know, growing up in Kansas, but not in Wichita, man, Gene Stephenson was right up there with guys like Bill Snyder, and just built a tremendous program here. And it's an honor for us to honor him.
Speaking of baseball, Kevin Saul joining us. What we saw the Shockers, who have had, there's no way to slice it any different, a very disappointing season thus far, but they did get a series win against East Carolina. I keep thinking back to last year's team that caught fire at the end of the year and sort of made their run almost all the way through the conference tournament. Where is, I guess, the psychology? I think you're into that kind of stuff of that team as they get ready to begin the march toward the, you know, toward the conference tournament.
I would tell you we've got a lot of good men in our program, great men in our program. I don't think there's any way to use your term, Jacob, slice that any different. We don't have bad people in our program. The bottom line is we're not meeting our expectation in our baseball program. And that's clear. Brian and I have spent a tremendous amount of time together in the last month or so, as you can imagine. And he's been doing this for nearly 30 years, and I've been doing this for 25, 26 years. So we certainly are not perfect. We do not have it all figured out, but we have a very good idea where the issues are as it relates to personnel and or priorities for support within that program. And we understand where the deficiencies lie, and we have a plan to address those. But there is no different way to slice it other than 15 and 32 is completely unacceptable here. We understand it. And we are prepared to address it. We are addressing it, and we will move forward. And we certainly appreciate folks' patience as we're walking through a really difficult baseball season.
And speaking of postseason, and that one will come soon, you've got softball today beginning the conference tournament. Always fun to be in the postseason. That's a 3 o'clock game for Wichita State softball against Tulsa. I believe it's Tulsa, right?
Yep, that's right. You got Tulsa and UTSA play the play-in game, and then I think the bracket really sets up well for us, guys. I had a chance to connect with Coach Breadbinner briefly before they left, and then Sammy Hood, who's a great young lady in our program. And I think there's a real amount of optimism there. You saw the all-league selections come out yesterday, and Lauren Lucas got second team, and we had a couple of our freshmen make the all-freshman team. We had freshman of the year, so we have some great young talent there as well. But I would submit to you that, you know, preseason selections, guys, you guys you guys understand what that gets you. There's no guarantees in preseason coaches selections and polls. But at the end of the day, I do think it's a measure of respect within your league for your program. And so when your softball team's picked first and your baseball team is picked second in the league by the coaches, there's certainly an amount of respect or admiration for your program. And we have not lived up to that on both on either side. So we've got to do a better job as administrators, as coaches, as staff, and as student athletes of representing that in a better way.
Kevin, we appreciate it. I know we'll get Coach in you again here soon to talk about the basketball classes. Those, you know, continue to become official. I know that's difficult right now, but I tell you that I think we like the build on the men's side of how that's looking on paper, which is all anybody has to go by right now. Before we let you go, you guys have set up a lot of different ways to garner that support we've talked about. You're looking for $1 million. What's the easiest way for fans who might want to get involved with now this process of raising funds? What's the easiest way for them to do it?
Well, the easiest way would be to email me directly. And my direct email is ksaul@goshockers.com. And we will connect with folks and we will guide them through in a conversation what that looks like and answer questions. It is a time intensive process, but we want to make sure that we are managing that with first class service, and we want our service framework to be well. So you can start at the top. You can email me directly at ksaul@goshockers.com, and we will get folks connected with you. And in some cases, it will be myself.
Kevin, we appreciate it. It doesn't get easier than that. We'll talk the specifics on the basketball recruits down the road as that all becomes official. We appreciate you hopping on here with us for a couple minutes.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate the opportunity, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul. It's been a few weeks. It's good to catch up with Kevin there. It's a challenge because you have to, you know, sometimes this transfer portal stuff, just for folks out there, like, we might see all the reporting and know because half the time the players just say, hey, I'm going to Wichita State. You'll get the official word sometimes right away. Sometimes it takes a while. There's a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to waste anybody's time and say, hey, what do you think about XYZ? Because we got to get everybody official, but we will. Interesting stuff though there. Thanks to Kevin Saul for hopping in. Shocker fans, if you missed any of that with Kevin, it's the first time we've been able to catch up in a while. You can do that on the Odyssey app. Go back and listen there. You can hit the microphone button. You can leave us voice messages. The show gets podcasted out every day. It's a lot of good stuff there in the Odyssey app. All right, Tommy, let's talk about this trade. It's the headlines. What everybody's texting me about. Maybe it's because I'm a Cowboys fan, but I do think it's a pretty big trade. George Pickens, you sent me this right when we woke up this morning. George Pickens coming to Dallas for what appears to be a third round pick and some other stuff from Pittsburgh. He probably needed to get out of Pittsburgh. It makes a ton of sense for Dallas, and I don't think the cost is too much by any means. Now, he's a headache, and they needed a receiver desperately to go with CeeDee Lamb. I love George Pickens, the player. I think I make that pretty clear here. But I'm a little bit worried about the fit. A little bit worried about the fit. Can Dak get him those deep balls he's so good at? Because that's not really Dak's thing. And maybe it can be if they have the attention going elsewhere. I love the player. I'm a little bit concerned about the fit. Like, I can see Pickens throwing some fits if he's not getting his deep balls from Dak.
It's one thing for him to throw a fit in Pittsburgh. It's another thing for him to throw a fit under the microscope in Dallas. I mean, can you imagine if he has any of the antics that he had in Pittsburgh, if that translates into Dallas, just the amount of attention he's going to get and how much it's going to take away from anything else that the Cowboys want to do. I mean, that becomes storyline number one for the Cowboys. I mean, each and every week. I hope that that's something that a guy like Brian Schottenheimer, who I know has been around for a long time, but he's a first-time head coach, I hope he's ready for that. I hope he's ready to handle that. And I know they absolutely needed to have another receiver there because the cupboard was pretty bare outside of CeeDee Lamb at the receiver position. It sounded like they were working on potential other trades with other teams and then really kind of zeroed in on George Pickens with Pittsburgh. But, man, it makes me wonder, like, that could easily be a circus. It usually is with Dallas, and yeah. I just hope that Brian Schottenheimer is ready for that.
I think you like I that doesn't bother me too much in the NFL, honestly, because you know, like what was the, there was an old like you kind of got to be a diva to be a good receiver in the NFL, right? Like now he's gone beyond diva. Don't get me wrong, but I think the bigger concern is stylistically, how does he fit in? George Pickens has to know he's walking in the room and he's wide receiver too, right? Like you better know that, and that tone better be set right away. Yo, dude, you can come in here, but we're going to tell you right now, CeeDee Lamb commands the ball. You don't command the ball, okay? But he does add an element to a Dallas team that's getting Dak back healthy that they need desperately. I just have a little bit of concern that Dak can take full advantage. Like Russell Wilson historically is one of the best deep ball throwers we've ever seen in football. It's like what he does. That's not Dak. So can they run the ball enough to get Dak the time to be accurate on a ball to the sideline down the field? Like that's what we've got to see with the trade. But on the surface, I mean, the talent for a third round pick makes a ton of sense for a team that needed a second receiver very, very badly. I don't know if it fits in culture wise. You never know about any of that stuff with Dallas. Sometimes though, Dallas can like Jerry Jones is always the distraction, but if he can be the distraction and it's not inside the locker room, maybe that helps. But you've got Micah Parsons, who's already, you know, a bit of a distraction, always talking, always doing his thing. Like, yeah, Brian, good luck, Brian Schottenheimer. You've already got to deal with Jerry Jones every week, but now you've got a couple of things in there and he's got to sign off on this trade. I don't think it was, look, I like the trade for Dallas. A third round pick for a guy as talented as George Pickens. I'm all in on that. That's fine. They had a good draft. I think they can absolutely afford it. I just am curious about the fit with that particular quarterback.
It's also interesting to me, like with Pittsburgh, and this isn't even necessarily a Dallas criticism, but more of a Pittsburgh criticism. It's surprising to me that if they were wanting to move Pickens, why they didn't try to move him before the draft, before this year's draft, to get some kind of, you know, help. And whether that's a third rounder or maybe they trade a pick and try to trade up in the draft or whatever. I'm surprised that they didn't try to move him prior to last week, you know, or 2 weeks ago when the draft happened, because they could have gotten some kind of help to help them out right away. And now they've kind of kicked that can down the road a little bit where, yeah, they get a third rounder, but it doesn't help them anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, getting a third isn't bad. Where was he drafted? He was a second round pick. So you haven't lost a ton of value there. He's been productive for them. The other thing with, look, I'm not making any excuses for George Pickens. So I've got to frame this without a misunderstanding. But when you roll out the quarterbacks that he's played with in Pittsburgh, and he did finally get Russell Wilson, who's okay. But like they've had a quarterback problem for a long, long time. And he has not had and last year was the best they've had probably in a while, but it's been a long time. Like, and if you're a receiver and you're trying to get to that second contract and all of these things, and you're just like, think about Garrett Wilson, poor Garrett Wilson, who's a rock star. He's so good. And you just got to be sitting there like, God, like I can't get anything going my way here. Remember Allen Robinson? I always felt bad for Allen Robinson when he played for the Jags for a long time. He's so good. Never could get a good quarterback in there. So maybe it's George Pickens. I absolutely think could be a change of scenery guy. Now that's only to some of it. Some of the other stuff he's done is just absolutely unacceptable.
Well, he's a knucklehead. And you know, yeah. I think the hope would be that getting a change of scenery and getting to another team, another year older, knowing that he's not the number one guy coming into the wide receiver room. Maybe that helps. Maybe that humbles him a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath because all of a sudden you're going from Pittsburgh, which is pretty blue collar and pretty hardworking and, you know, whatever, to Dallas, where the lights are bright in the NFL. And, you know, you have a larger audience now, nationally at least, for those antics. I'm not going to sit here and hold my breath and say he's probably going to be a change player. Like, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
No. Yeah.
you know, I think once a diva, always a diva to an extent. So I'm not going to try to overstate, you know, some change of him, you know, just because he's going to Dallas. But I would like to think that maybe he can view this as a little bit of a fresh start, and maybe he won't be quite as much of a distraction as he was in Pittsburgh.
I agree completely. That's all it is, right? That's all it is, because you can, like, I don't mind diva status for wide receivers. I really don't. But when you're, it's not even like a distraction. It's when you're destructive, and he's done some destructive things that have affected their ability to win and lose. Good head coach, those guys can talk all they want. Don't really care. Like, not everybody gets what the Chiefs have, which is everybody, you know, kind of falls in line, says the right thing. Like, there are plenty of good teams where guys sit. Look, you remember the quote unquote distractions of AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts for Philadelphia last year? How'd that work out?
Yeah, that was minimal. I mean, that was not, yeah, like, they, and you know, to their credit, they worked that out internally, and they were able to move forward.
That stuff is fine. Like, that's not going to, it's more like on the field, are you going to do things that hinder our ability to win football games? And he has done plenty of that.
Are you going
to
take complete plays off and just stand there and not block and not run down the field? You know, things like that.
Yeah. And so I think they're two different things. I don't think his personality is going down, right? Like, I don't think he's going to get tempered. It's funny. Kyle Brandt just put this out. Just such a great job covering the NFL. He put them side by side. He and CeeDee Lamb are physically like the exact same player. Same size, same, almost all the same measurables and all that stuff. But I just don't, like, I don't view them as the same style of player at all. And in fact, I think they fit really well together, right? What one does that complements the other. It's more about, will Dak have the ability to really get the best of George Pickens? And I think your point is good. That's now Brian Schottenheimer's job, who's an offense guy, right? Like, what can you do to help unlock what George Pickens does really well? I mean, you go back historically and look at Pittsburgh's offenses when he's been on the field and not on the field, and you can see right away what his impact is. Like, he is a very impactful player. I like the move for Dallas. I think it's a great risk level. I think it's a great player. There are a lot of there's a lot of baggage that comes along with it. But for Dallas, what else are you going to do, right? You got to be swinging for the fences. They snuck around and had a good draft, Tommy. They fixed a big problem if their first round pick works out. I think a lot of people didn't know about taking a guard as early as they did, but I think everybody liked the player. Dallas had a very big need there, and they drafted a bunch of defensive dudes. Some of them slid. Like, they could turn it around in a year. We'll see what Brian Schottenheimer has, because I think he's been given a roster that's certainly capable. And I know that division is really difficult now with Philadelphia and Washington. But Dallas didn't have their quarterback last year. I mean, Dak was hurt all year. So don't, you know, you can't take what happened last year and say that's Dallas. Well, it's not. That was Cooper Rush's Dallas. Like, Dak is what he is. But Dak, I mean, they win 10, 11, 12 games every year here. So we'll see. It's an interesting, potentially, you know, game-changing type move in the NFC, maybe.
Yeah, there's no way that they could have entered into this season with the wide receiver room the way that it was, with just CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of nobodies. Like, that was not going to work at all. And so I totally understand the desire and maybe even borderline desperation to get a compliment to CeeDee Lamb in that wide receiver room. Whether it ends up, you know, obviously Pickens is going there, whether that ends up being a good move overall based on his antics and all of that, time will tell. But I certainly understand why they were so open in, look, we've got to make a move. We've got to bring somebody else in, Pickens or otherwise, because we can't just put everything on the shoulders of CeeDee Lamb. It's not going to work that way.
They better be desperate, right? Like, you better be desperate. You're paying Dak $60 million a year, the highest paid player in the league. You better be desperate. That's the problem we've had with what Dallas has done the last 18 months. They haven't been desperate. Like, they haven't done anything, right? They sat on all this money that they freed up in the offseason, and they didn't do anything with it. So, yeah, you better be desperate. What else are you paying Dak $60 million a year for if you're not desperate? This is a good, like, this is the type of move that Dallas needs to be in the business of making right now. If you're not going to rebuild, then you better load up. And this is a move that this is that kind of move. So listen, we've spent a long time giving that front office a lot of grief, rightfully so, for the past year and a half. This was a move that makes a whole lot more sense for Dallas. It's an aggressive move. It's a risky move. And why the hell wouldn't you do something like that? And they finally did. What does it do? I don't know. That's on Dak now. Dak and Brian Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer's going to get a shot. I would tell you that the vibes from the people that cover the team and everything are pretty good on him, pretty high on him. And they weren't when he was first hired. So he's winning some people over. Can he coach? He's going to have to, because now he gets George Pickens to add in a locker room who's not the, we wouldn't call coachable one of the pros and cons. We would put that in the pro column for George Pickens. All right, we're going to come back. Hour number two. We will get into the Royals. We got cut a little short there. We'll review what happened in the NBA. I know Maxwell's got thoughts on the NHL. I'm trying to watch a little more hockey here. So it's all coming for you in the second hour. Plus, Rias Lotta, don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. Let's start the hour with a chance for you to win some HTO. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to 20357. I get your free cup of iced tea. More than 26 flavors to choose from. You can go inside. You can try them all for free. And this will be good in East or West Wichita or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. Again, that's T to 20357. Message and data rate supply. You can enter once per day. Glad to be here with you, Tommy. Glad to be here with you, Max. Glad to be here with you, everybody, on Sports Daily. We've had a lot of great NBA playoff action. These games are repeatedly tight, competitive, compelling. As somebody who didn't watch really much, if anything, in the regular season, the playoffs have delivered a great deal for me personally. You get the Pacers putting the Cavs, the number one seed, in an 0-2 hole last night, despite almost a 50-point, 10-assist game from Donovan Mitchell. And you had the Warriors continue the road trend, getting a win over Minnesota stylistically in a game that Golden State was able to slow down. I think Minnesota would like to run them. They couldn't get it done. And the old guys in Golden State are getting it done still. I think there's a lot of compelling stuff happening, Tommy. You've got... It's funny now, Golden State's become like the old guard, right? It's like a bunch of old dudes trying to still win a title, and then all these great young teams, and it's a good playoff mix. And I don't even, who's the favorite right now? I'll look that up, but I think it's wide stinking open.
Well, it is. I mean, especially considering that the Thunder lost their opening game, and you know, I think that they're at least in the West. They have been at least the prohibitive favorite,
the favorite,
right?
So the Thunder are the favorite,
but they are down one game to none, and so they, you know, they've got to get a win here in game two. Then that game is tonight, correct? That they play, I believe against the Nuggets. So you know, they've got to even up that series, and then really in the East, it's, I mean, going into this series, did you think the Cavs? I mean, weren't the Cavs
It's still the Celtics.
Okay,
right? And I say that because the Cavs are down 0-2. I'm just looking as of today. But the Celtics are defending champs, and they're still, you know, they're still favored in this series against the Knicks. But the two favorites, yeah, are down 1-0. So that, I think that Celtics Knicks series feels like it's going to be pretty dramatic. I do think that Boston's so talented. Like, they had to miss 45 threes to lose in overtime. I just, like, that keeps popping into my head. Boston might overmatch them, but I think with Brunson, it's going to make it a compelling series. Nuggets Thunder is really interesting, right? Like, we don't talk about Denver at all, and they have the unstoppable player, and they've got talent around him. Now, it was a buzzer beater to win that one, and they would have lost if he didn't hit it. It wasn't like it was a tie game, so it was that close. I hope it's Oklahoma City, because I think that's cool for people around here, and I think they – I think they've rebuilt a team, Tommy. If you let's go all the way back to when their big three got broken up finally. Did anybody ever think Oklahoma City was going to be able to get back there? I mean, really. There's plenty of purgatory in the NBA for small market teams, right? Like, there are a lot of teams that are never good. And that's not even small market. It's just in general, like not the Capitals, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Pelicans, like the Pistons are finally turning it around. Like there are teams that have been bad and have stayed bad for a long time. I don't know that anybody thought Oklahoma City would ever be able to get back to where they were. And this team might be better than any of those teams with Durant, Harden, and Westbrook.
You know what I love about what the Thunder have done under Sam Presti is that they stayed the course. They had their strategy. They knew exactly the way they were going to go about building it. They weren't going to let outside noise distract them. It would have been really easy during the super lean years when they were really bad and they were picking high in the draft and they were, you know, doing all of that and kind of like rebuilding, you know, the team and the roster and, you know, trying to get that cupboard back where it should be. It would have been really easy for them to be like, you know what, we've got to abort, we've got to pivot, we have to change course. It's not working. We don't have the patience to get through this rebuild. They didn't do that. I mean, they committed fully to the way that they were going to rebuild this roster. It got to the point to where, when was it, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when they put the youngest roster in the NBA on the court? And I know that at least nationally, they were kind of made fun of. Like, man, look at these babies, you know, like out here on the court, and they're just going to get beat up and down totally. But it really worked out. It's really paid off. And those guys have their battle scars. They've been able to get experience in the NBA. And look at them now. I mean, look at where this team and organization is now. So, again, they're down 1-0 in this series. They've got to even the series tonight against Denver and move forward on that. But just holistically, the way that they've been able to rebuild the roster and put it all together, I think it's to be respected and admired that it's easy to get cheap wins and to go out and try to sign guys to, you know, super max deals and all of that. That's not the way the Thunder have built their team, and it seems like it's paying off in dividends.
And not just that, like Chet Holmgren was the guy that they took with that number one overall pick, all that. I mean, he's been fine. He's been often injured, as we feared, but even when he's played, he hasn't been like Wimbenyama or something. Like, he's been okay. He's been pretty good. But like, even despite that, and that would be, again, crippling for a lot of teams. Like, I think it's one of the more impressive things that has happened in the NBA is that they've been able to get back to the top of the peak after what they had, and they lost it all, and they couldn't ever get over the hump. To be there now is just a really, really cool story. So I kind of find myself, I think, rooting for them, but I'm rooting for a lot of things. Like, I'm rooting for Jalen Brunson. I think the Knicks fan base deserves it. Like, if there's any fan base that deserves it, like, they'd be up there. So there's a lot of really cool things happening. I've always had a soft spot for the Pacers back to the Rick Smith's days, you know, and Reggie Miller and those teams. So there's a lot to love with the NBA playoffs, and we'll continue to watch those. The NHL playoffs roll forward. Now, I'm trying here. I can't believe Edmonton, Max, came back. When I left that game, Vegas had just gone up 2-0. It was early, but I was like, okay, there it goes. And then Edmonton comes storming back. The Canadian teams have got a shot here to break the trend. I'm saying, like, Max, I mean, your bet for me to win a driver is two Canadian teams. Like, the Canadians are making a push this year.
I told you.
Well, listen, easy.
Toronto is overdue.
Like, it's a little early for that.
Toronto's overdue. And if Winnipeg is the best team, but Edmonton will be tough to get by. But there'll be two Canadian teams in the finals.
Okay. I hope it's the right two so that I can get a driver. For those that haven't, like, Max put me on a Winnipeg Toronto Stanley Cup final, and if the bet hits, I'm going to get a new driver. That's what the goal is. So you can fall in line there. I've got a buddy who's become a Carolina Hurricanes fan. He decided he was going to be a hockey fan, and Carolina was the team he attached to. They get a win last night over Washington. I like seeing that. Nobody needs the Capitals to do anything. And then, you know, you get other good action tonight. I got my two teams going tonight.
By the way,
Max,
did you
maybe I need to follow that up with just a straight you know, hedge Toronto, Winnipeg, win their games tonight kind of a bet. But the NHL play, yeah, look, the NHL playoffs, all you don't even have to know a player or a team. You just watch them and you're like, this is awesome.
Did you catch, by the way, the comments, the NHL comments that our president made yesterday? Did you hear about any of that?
No.
So
he made some FIFA comments.
Well, he was talking about Canada, right? And like that's the whole big thing, like the 51st state and like, you know, all that whole thing. So he's talking about it, and he mentioned something about Canada, and I think the new prime minister of Canada was with him, and you know he was talking. He goes, yeah, like I love the people of Canada, I love Canadians, I love all that. And then he makes a comment about like, you know, you guys also have a really really good hockey player, you know, that's you know Canadian. He was referring to Alexander Ovechkin, who is Russian. He's not Russian, Canadian, yeah. But he's, you guys have a great hockey player. Well, he plays for a Canadian team. He's not Canadian, you know, so he's talking
Ovechkin
about.
Ovechkin doesn't play for the Capitals anymore?
I mean, he referenced Ovechkin and the record that Ovechkin had broken and all of that. So that's what he was.
I saw him talk a little trash during the FIFA thing where he was, you know, the FIFA guy said something about United States and Mexico and Canada. And he was like, hold on, you said USA first. Like, yeah, he's a sports guy. He's a sports fan. I mean, he always has been, whether it's pro wrestling or fighting.
He owned a football team. Part of the USFL. Like
he ruined fans, the USFL.
So I don't mind at all, like a little trash talking for Go USA. I got to be honest, like if I was in any position of like ownership or anything, I would talk a lot of trash. Like as a sports fan, you like let that bleed through. That's funny. I didn't catch that with Canada. It's hard because Max has me on this bet, but I do take a sense of pride in Team USA, you know, USA all the way, that Canada hadn't been able to get the Stanley Cup finals. And if I get my driver, that trend's going to be bucked. And, you know, I like our friends up in Canada. So this is the year. They've had a rough year. It's by perception to us anyway. So maybe this is the year. I need a new driver. That's really all that matters. So Max, let's get this done. NHL playoffs are always a lot of fun. All right, coming up. Tommy and I must disagree on this because it's been coming up a lot. Like how the concern level for the Royals offense, what does it mean big picture? What do they need to be thinking? We started to get into that a little bit earlier. We'll continue that discussion. We'll look ahead on their schedule as well as they try to stay white hot. How much longer can they keep this kind of a run going? We'll look at all that when it comes to the Royals. We've got some comments on the Royals as well we need to get to. So we'll go there. Sri Islata coming up later in the hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a supporter here of Sports Daily, getting everything shaped up and ready to roll there, getting ready to start building up for the Wichita Open. That'll be a lot of fun out there, as it always is. There's a big Memorial Day bash coming up to sort of celebrate the start of summer, and that's where things really pick up at Crestview, with the pool and the tennis and the events and all the kids' camps. There's kids' camps every day in the summertime. If you are looking for something this summer, maybe a little different than what you thought, give Crestview a call. Ask them about all their different memberships. They have all kinds of stuff. It's not just the golf. They have different memberships that don't even include the golf if you're not a golfer. But check it out. Tom and I and the families are both out there. We both greatly enjoy it and would love to see you out there. All right, we come back here to Sports Daily. Let's continue our conversation on the Royals. A couple of comments here. Rick, great to hear from Rick. It's been a minute. Rick's great Royals fan. This is in reference to Jack Caglione, who we mentioned in the first hour, had another couple of home runs yesterday. He's destroying the ball in AA. What's his path? Rick says the outfield isn't a horrible idea with India already there. You want to risk Cags out there with hardly any experience. He's more likely to get hurt out there. I don't know about all that. He's not going to be a center fielder running them all down. You'd put him in right, and then Massey would be the odd man out there because India would become your second baseman, I think, in that scenario. And I'd be fine with that at this point if it's an upgrade to a guy like Cags. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. That he's played, I think, like two games in the outfield. It's not like they're not, that's not something they're prioritizing right now. There's no doubt about that. That's why it's probably not going to happen for a while either, because they don't have a place to put him. But the offense is still struggling, Tommy. It's still near the bottom of the league in a lot of categories. I think you and I are on different wavelengths here. Obviously, they're winning, and they're winning despite it right now. They didn't, though. For me, the problem is they didn't when they played good teams. It's not all that much better than it was in totality. I will say, though, there are specific players that are starting to hit much better than they were when they were struggling. So I think a lot of the improvement can come internally. I think the crux of it for me is, like, as it currently stands, is it going to be enough for them to reach all their goals? We're a long way into this, and I don't think that it is. So how much more can they improve between now and the time where maybe they're able to add to it? I think that's what we watch. And, you know, last night again against the White Sox, they just didn't generate it all. It took a couple of errors in the ninth inning for them to get to, you know, more than two runs in that game. So I think we just keep watching it, and look, I hope they keep winning every game along the way while they figure it out.
Well, part of it, too, you have to keep in mind that, you know, the pitcher that they faced in the game, Sean Burke for the White Sox, the Royals had never faced him before. And so you could tell early in the game that they were trying to figure the guy out. I mean, when you've gone up against a guy even one other time, you've got some film on him. You're going to study the pitcher that you're going up against. And they didn't have anything on Sean Burke. They didn't know what that was going to look like. And you could tell early on in the game that it was less about they weren't executing and more about they were just trying to figure him out. And so it did take a little bit of time for that to kind of come to fruition for the Royals. But I think here's where I'm at with all of it. They're in a position right now, and I think last night's game was kind of a microcosm of it, where it's not going to be pretty, but they're going to keep the line moving and they're going to do whatever they need to do to get a win. And if that means that they're scraping across runs late in the game and they're taking advantage of errors from an opponent, then so be it. It doesn't have to be this magical, glorious offensive, just big time effort, as long as it's just they're doing what they need to do to get enough runs across the board to support their pitching and let the pitching be the catalyst to have them win ball games. So I'm not in a position right now where I'm concerned about their offense. Sure, I'd love to see them score more runs night in and night out. Absolutely, anybody would. But I'm not in a panic mode right now. I think my panic meter is way down low. I mean, they were, keep in mind, they were 8-14. They're now 21-16. You know, so like they're 15-2 in their last 13-2 in their last 15 games. So I until they, and I think I mentioned this in the last hour, until they start losing ball games, and the reason they're losing ball games is because they're not getting enough runs across the board, at that point I'll reassess where I'm at, but I'm not concerned right now.
They went through a 10 game stretch where that's why they got down to 8-14. You know, they're still just scoring. They're scoring under 3.5 runs a game. Like it's
pretty
bad.
But remember those games when they lost, when they were 2-8 on that road trip and all of that, it was to the point to where they weren't giving their starting pitching any run support whatsoever. They were not getting out to leads. They were not able to, give their pitchers any kind of breathing room at all during the course of the game. They're doing that now. And we talked about it before. They're getting out to the most part, last night notwithstanding, getting out to early leads and then letting their starting pitching do the work. That's the recipe. That's really been the standard for the Royals. As long as they're doing that, again, I've got no concern.
I think the other thing for me that I'm trying to be fair with is who they've been playing. They haven't been playing juggernaut offenses. And I think their pitching is awesome. I think it's as complete. And I said this before the season started. I believed it then. I think they've got a chance to have from top to bottom a pitching staff that's better than any in the American League.
But to be fair, concerned going into the season that they didn't have Brady Singer. I remember you saying that even after adding Lorenzen, that you thought that the pitching staff would probably take a step back.
I do. And I think it probably still will overall from what it was a year ago, but their bullpen's so much better that they can afford it. Right. Maybe they replicate last year, which would be fantastic. But when they played really good offenses, their starting pitching wasn't nearly as good. Like wasn't nearly as good as it has been as they've been playing some bad offenses. So I want to be fair to that too. Again, I love their pitch. I think they have more pitching than any team in the American League right now, top to bottom. I still think that. But I just don't want to I don't want to just gloss over any issues because they're winning a bunch of games.
I'm not glossing over any issues. I'm saying that I feel like because of the talent of their pitching staff that they don't need to be a juggernaut offense. And
no, I don't. Yeah, I agree.
And because of that, like I feel like
they can't be an offense in October that's only scoring 3.5 runs a game or under 3.5 runs a game. Like it's going to have to be better.
Maybe down the stretch, late in the season. And so I do feel like once we get closer to the trade deadline and all of that, and we'll see where Caglione is at that point, we'll see who's on the block, if they feel like they need to add, an asset. And look, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I remember the World Series run, they made a trade for Ben Zobrist, because they felt like they needed another bat to be able to get them over the hump to be able to compete and ultimately win a World Series. So I wouldn't be opposed to that whatsoever. I'm just not willing right now. And I feel like this has become kind of the discourse, at least from you, where it's like they're 13-2 in their last 15 games. And you're sounding alarm bells about they're not scoring any runs. They're not scoring any runs. They're 13-2 in their last 15 games. They've gotten themselves back into contention in the division. They've gotten themselves at the very minimum right now. They're in one of the wild card spots as it stands right now. I know they've got teams in front of them in the division, but they are finding ways to win. They may not make it easy on themselves, and they needed help from the White Sox last night for a walk-off win based on just a comedy of errors in the field from Chicago. But a win's a win. They're 13-2 in their last 15 games. And it's surprising to me that, like, it's like this alarm bell panic. Like, they need to figure something out. Well, they are. They're figuring out ways to win. They're keeping the line moving. They're doing what they need to do and letting it be put on the shoulders of their pitching staff. And the pitching staff is coming through every time.
Yeah, I think it's a good team. I think it can be a great elite team. But I can't ignore the fact that they can't score runs right now. I think their best chance is for the middle of the lineup to do what we thought it would do and for them to raise it, let's call it 3.5, to even if it's just 4 runs a game, right? Even if they just get up to league average, I think it's going to make a huge difference. I just don't want to, just like when they were 8-14, how about this? When they were 8-14, What did you know? Jalen Thompson came on, said panic meter probably about a 3. I agreed with that. The same for me is true on the other side of it too. Like now that they've gone through this stretch of 15 games against bad competition, whatever, and I also don't want to overreact to that and just say everything's good. Like they're going to win a million games.
No, I'm not saying everything's good. But I'm saying let's enjoy what we're watching right now, where they are finding ways to win and they're leaning on the talent of their pitching staff, which is, while, you know, contrast it with the offense, which is not very good right now. They have one of, if not the best pitching staffs in the league, maybe in all of Major League Baseball right now.
I think it's the best, yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know, it would be different if they were, like, let's say Seth Lugo came out last night and just got shellacked. You know, gave up 5-6 runs or whatever. At that point, when that has happened for the Royals, you look at it and outside of the finale against Baltimore on Sunday, when it was a home run fest back and forth between both teams, you have an opponent that, you know, kind of beats up on the starter and they put up 5, 6, 7 runs or whatever. That's been pretty difficult for the Royals to battle back from. They're not really built that way. And that really has not been a recipe for success for Kansas City so far this season, but that hasn't happened. And so until that sort of thing starts to happen, until either the pitching rotation, the starters cannot get through multiple innings and they get beat up on and the Royals are playing from behind consistently and they don't have an explosive enough offense to be able to claw their way back into games, or maybe they get a lead and the bullpen starts blowing games left and right and the offense can't turn it around for them and can't pick up the pitching staff, then until then, I'm not panicking whatsoever. I'm like they're doing what needs to be done to win these ball games, and I think that they're leaning on their strengths, and I'm fine with it right now.
But when they played Cleveland, the Yankees, and Detroit, those things
3 weeks
did
ago. 3 weeks ago.
I know. Okay.
Salvi wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Vinny Pasquantino wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Jonathan India wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Drew Waters wasn't on the roster at that point. Like the season's going to ebb and flow. And I'm not going to look back on what they did 3 weeks ago to judge what the team is doing right now. In the same way, I'm not going to look at what the team is doing right now in 3 weeks from now and try to make some kind of judgment based on what they did in the past. The team is going to ebb and flow.
I don't think the Royals get that luxury because if it's a perceived problem, they have to do what they need to do to solve it. They can't only address the problem.
They are. Guys in the middle of the lineup are hitting significantly better now than they were during that.
But they're not scoring any more runs.
But they're hitting. Their averages are up. Their OPSs are up. All of that. Like, you're the same guy. And this is what has just kind of driven me crazy about these Royals conversations is that you actually yesterday on the show, you said that you were talking about, like, should they move Salvi or should they move Vinny? And like, these guys have increased their batting average. Yeah, you're like, well, they're not going to trade Salvi. They're not going
to
trade.
Is going to play first base. They'll have to.
And those, like, especially Salvi in the last 2 weeks has been phenomenal. And Pasquantino leads the team in home runs and RBIs. Like, can we focus on the fact that this team is winning ball games right now instead of poking holes into every little thing that they're doing or not doing right now?
It's not. It's
they're
not
13-2,
holes, Tommy. They're not scoring any runs.
They're 13-2.
Okay, I understand what the record is. That doesn't mean they're a perfect team that is just good to go the rest of the way because they are on a 13-2 run against a bunch of really bad teams. I'm happy that they are. The Royals are my pick to go to the World Series. I'm not being Debbie Downer with the Royals. I'm trying.
I think you kind of are.
I'm not. I'm saying, are they good enough offensively to make noise in the postseason? That is the question that I am asking now.
It's May 7th. Appreciate what we're looking at right now. I'm not saying
and
that.
Just so don't even care.
No.
Like,
I'm not saying that at all.
Right now.
But who's on the trade block right this second? And is JJ Piccolo going to go and do
trade block? Oh, you mean for other teams?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, is JJ Piccolo feeling like he needs to go make a move right now when they're 13-2 in their last 15 games? Probably not. Probably not. That's probably not part of the conversation. Probably not on the table right now. And that's okay. That is okay. Once we get closer to the trade deadline, sure. Like, as we start to know, like, I know at one point you were like, man, they need to make a move sooner rather than later. Like, they need to start calling teams. They need to start calling. Like, do you realize what they would have to give up to be able to get a bat right this second, as opposed to riding what they have in their winning ball games in spite of their deficiencies? If they get closer to the trade deadline, when the market starts to get more active, that's the more strategic move as it is, you know, as it stands. Like, if they're the only team that is calling around being like, guys, we need a bat, we need an outfield bat, who do you have available? These teams are going to eat them alive in the negotiations. So
yeah,
let's ride with what they've got right now.
They're not the only team in baseball evaluating things on May 7th. That's not true. It's fine. If they're not 13-2 and the offense is struggling, can we have a conversation about the offense at that point?
Absolutely. We can have a conversation at any time, but you know, they're
only allowed to evaluate the team based on their doing at the present moment. I got it. Okay. That's not
what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that why don't we appreciate what's going on right now with this team
why don't we do both?
Okay.
Like, why can't we do both? Why can't we appreciate them winning these games and wonder about the postseason for a team that looks like
literally led off this program today talking about the guy in Double A and the home runs he hit, as opposed to the Royals, who are the hottest team in Major League Baseball right now, who are 13-2 in their last 15 games and are, you know, they got the best pitching staff in the country, but we're talking about who's down in the minors right now and what they need to do to get him moved up right away. Or like
we talked about that because we had like 4 minutes to talk.
I wish that we could just like appreciate what we're watching right now from this Royals team that is relevant and in contention early on in the season, have battled their way back from a less than stellar start. Even though they're still not hitting the ball great, they are winning despite that. And we're watching dominant pitching from both the starters and in the bullpen. I'd like to appreciate, I'm not saying that we can't evaluate what they need to do to win a championship. That's not my point whatsoever. But on a night when they win on a Bobby Witt Jr. walk-off, that was one of the most exciting games that we've seen all season long from the Royals, and has kind of like shown that the magic is there, and like they're gelling and things are rounding into form and things are looking really good for them right now. We're talking about how, well, they're still not scoring any runs. Like, I would rather just be like, look, they're winning these ball games. Like, and they're doing it on the backs of great starting pitching, great bullpen, and they're keeping the line moving offensively. Could it be better? Sure. Every single team in every single sport could always be better. I'm not disputing that whatsoever, but I'm saying let's appreciate what we're watching right now.
I have never intended to not appreciate the fact that the team is winning a ton of games. Not one time. I'm glad that they're winning a ton of games. They've been a lot of fun to watch. I watch them every night. I think it's totally fair to point out a flaw on the team still that has remained a flaw through the winning, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The Royals will get more tonight against the White Sox. It is another 6:40 first pitch. You'll hear it here on KFH. That pregame coverage begins at 6:30. It's Waka on the mound against Cannon. Again, the White Sox don't have bad starting pitching. That's been like the one small sliver for them this year that's been pretty good is their starting pitching. The guy they go up against tonight has been very serviceable, we'll call it. So it's Waka tonight, and then it's Day Baseball with Chris Bubich tomorrow as the Royals round out the White Sox series and continue the homestand.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Tommy stepped away here for a second, but we've got Shreyas Lada in, our KU Insider. You can follow him at SHRE98 on X. You can find all his work at the KC Star. Shreyas, look, it's been oddly quiet, I think, here lately. How have you been?
Good, not too bad. Enjoying the quietness of May, as they say.
I saw you put this out yesterday. Jeff Long is going to be on the college football playoff selection committee. What has he even been doing?
I saw he had some previous experience with the committee a little bit, but I thought it was a little nuts. I think he follows me on Twitter, so I didn't want to say anything to I think him and his daughter actually follow me on Twitter now that I think about it. But so I was trying to be a little wise with my words in what I put out, but I was a little stunned by that development. And I think a lot of KU fans were as well, but pretty interesting. Especially if
I just don't know what he's been up to. It didn't go well for him, and things have been turned around now, of course. I thought that was interesting too. Let's start with Norm Roberts. We didn't spend a ton of time with this yesterday. Norm Roberts retires. Was this expected at all?
I think there were some rumblings that potentially some staff shakeups would happen this at the end of the season, but I don't think there was a direct, okay, Norm Roberts or X person is going to retire. I think I just heard some murmurs about it. I think the interesting thing is, these guys are getting older, right? Like this is another kind of indication of that is these guys are getting older. Bill Self is getting older and not to raise the alarm bells, but is something to think about of how many years Bill Self has left. And I think it's indication of the fact that staff is moving into that point where, there are going to be assistants and Self thinking about retirement in the next few years.
But what is it? So what do they do now? The timing is interesting because we've seen like assistant coach movement all across the country, but it's already kind of happened. So is there a succession plan that's why I ask if it was expected, because Kansas hasn't done anything, at least that I've seen, to now fill that spot.
There's been a lot of murmurs about Jacques Wong from former Brooklyn Nets coach, former Jayhawk, coming in, maybe potentially take that spot. There's also the idea that maybe they promote Chase Buford, who technically can't recruit at the moment because they have the recruiting rule. So maybe they could promote him and then bring somebody else in to take Chase's spot. Okay. So those are the two things that I think they potentially can do. Maybe bring in somebody else with a Big 12 experience a little bit, a fired coach, Boykins maybe, something like that. Could be another name. Just something where they have a good amount of experience coaching-wise, I wouldn't be surprised. Or, maybe getting Buford kind of promoted so they can have them out there on the recruiting trail as an asset, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't think it's a terribly big deal. What do you think? Just, I guess, while we're on it, what does the staff need more of, recruiting or actual like game plan, X's and O's type stuff? We know assistants do all kinds of different things.
Well, I think X's and O's are the most important thing, right? Like if I believe that they can get the right roster and the right guys, I think the big thing is now, maximizing the guys that they do get. To their full capabilities, right? Like, obviously the guys that have left Kansas haven't had amazing seasons, but Ernest Udeh and Subi Ejiofor have had years they've grown and gotten better because they were surrounded by the right roster talent and the coaching staffs to kind of maximize their talents. I wasn't saying that was going to happen, not going to happen in Kansas, but it took some time for them to get better, and they did, and they found the right spots. But I do think, you know, having another coach that's a little younger, maybe plays more modern basketball style, wouldn't hurt Kansas. You know, I think the way things are moving, we're in for another season where shooting is going to be a question mark, and that's fine if their defense is really good, which I think it can be, but there could be some ugly shooting games for this Kansas team depending on who or who they don't bring in. Right now, they don't have anybody that shoots above 35% from three outside of one player.
So let's talk about that then. Who do they bring in? Like, what are we, what's out there? Because that, when I said it's been eerily quiet, I guess that's what I meant. Like, it hasn't, there hasn't been a lot of noise right now for Kansas. So what is happening? Is there still a big fish for this team? I feels like there needs to be. Is it still Williams from Tech? He hasn't signed anywhere yet, right? Like, what's taking so long?
With the Williams thing, there's no real conclusion that matter until the NBA Combine happens. He's going to go to the NBA Combine. He's going to get the feedback, and I'm not sure Kansas is going to wait that long. Let's call it what it is. They are also linked to Dame Sarr, a guy who played at Barcelona, you know, played overseas for a bit, a younger guy. He would be a huge get for Kansas. He could be – he's 6'5". He would probably fill in the shooting guard wing role for Kansas. I don't think they get both is what I kind of surmise. The price tag for both would be very difficult to get both of them. So it's one or the other. But Dame has a lot of interest from a lot of different schools. UNC, Tennessee, all these schools are interested in him and his services. And he's on the younger side. So he's one of those guys that could be in the 2026 draft next year. With the Williams thing, I was talking to a guy that covers the NBA draft for one of the big outlets. And, you know, he gives me a lot of information sometimes. He's like, I think he's a second rounder. And I asked him, like, do you think it matters if he comes back or not? And he was like, well, it kind of depends on the NIL situation. If he's making more NILs, you know, I'd say he should go back. And I think his camp and him are monitoring kind of everything out there. His agent texted me the other day when I had my mailbag come out to kind of talk about that. I think he was curious to see what the evaluator said and what I'd heard a little bit. So he was like, oh, can you send me the mail back? I was like, I got a little nervous, but I was like, he didn't say anything. He was like, thanks, appreciate it. So it definitely thinks, I think they're trying to monitor what's out there. I said it in the mailbag, but if he does come back from the NBA draft and Kansas hasn't picked up Dame Sarr, I think there's a good chance that Williams is a Jayhawk.
That's good. Williams, I mean, it's kind of a philosophical thing anymore with these guys. Shreya Slotta joining us, our KU insider, that mailbag you can find at the KC Star. What is the best option for a lot of these guys? I mean, especially for a guy, if there's mutual interest who thinks he could wind up at Kansas, and I understand going through the process, but I can't imagine very many scenarios where financially going to the NBA is going to be more fruitful for Williams than going to Kansas next year. It's a wild thing to think about, but that's where we are in college sports. Why even, like, to me, it's not an easy decision, but it's like, what, like, you're not going to hurt your draft stock at Kansas, I don't think. You're only going to help it, and you're going to make more money, and it's, I mean, a second round pick in the NBA, that's not that, you know, you could get cut. Like, there's nothing guaranteed. Like, I don't know. I think Kansas is the better option.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think my devil's advocate to that would be sometimes these guys just want to play pro. They're done with college. They're done with the classes. They're done with that aspect of it. I get that. You know, and they just want to get on with their, you know, pro career, whether that's in the G League or the NBA or overseas or whatever. With Williams, I think it would be fruitful for him to come back to Kansas to play alongside Darren Peterson and maybe raise his draft stock slightly. Maybe instead of being a late second rounder or off some boards, he goes to a early second rounder, even late first rounder. We've seen it happen with some of these guys. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like Jalen Wilson, Kevin McCullough. These guys were guys who probably were not, you know, on a lot of boards the year before they got drafted. I mean, I know Kevin was a little bit. There were some murmurs of, you know, maybe late first, early second, but then obviously the injury happened. But, you know, just going back to with Williams' situation, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the big thing to him is how much does he want to play pro versus how much he wants to play college ball. And, you know, I think is Kansas going to sit and wait around for him to go through the process, make a decision? Or are they going to just go after a guy like Dame Sarr where the process could be quicker? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dame comes to visit campus in the next week or so, if it is as serious as a lot of reports are saying.
So we saw, but you bring him up, and I don't know anything about him because I've watched a lot of Spanish, you know, amateur basketball. But Kansas State just went that road with a dude from Serbia that looks really good. We know was expensive. How much is this international market going to open up now because of NIL and what those dollar figures are like for these guys to bridge into the NBA through high major college basketball?
I definitely think it's going to open up quite a bit. You know, I feel like it's something that's in the realm of possibility where, you know, guys, you know, you're going to find them late in the process. Like this is, we're in May right now. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised where guys like Johnny Furphy or a Dame Sarr or et cetera are picked up late in the process because they're just better options, honestly, picking up guys international sometimes and looking at the transfer portal. We're getting to a point where the portal is kind of getting, there's not a lot out there. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot out there that's going to make Kansas better, A, at a reasonable price.
Well, okay. So the price tag, I mean, outside of, you know, bringing back Flory, has anything been terribly expensive in relative terms for them? Like, it feels like they're sitting on a bag a little bit.
They're definitely sitting on a little bit of a bag, but Darren Peterson is getting the bag as well.
That's true.
Those two guys are comprising of the most of the alleged what would the budget would be, kind of what I've surmised. But let's call it what it is. I think it's important to remember. I asked Bill Self about the GM question back in March or February or whatever. And I, you know, he kind of went through like what they want out of the process. The number one thing he said is a guy who can get more people to donate money. You know, a guy who can be a fundraiser, which is an important process to remember because is that, you know, indirectly he's saying, I want a guy who can give us a little more money to play with. And that, along with Hunter Dickinson's comments of talking about, oh, there wasn't a guy making like millions of dollars on the roster, I think is very interesting to me. I don't know how much he was telling the truth, but I, from everywhere, all these NIL rankings and, you know, On3, all this other stuff, I don't think Kansas was top 10. I don't even think they were top 20 in NIL money spent last year.
Well, but they will be this year. Darren
Peterson. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
I don't know that I don't know that I buy that from Dickinson, but whatever. You know, the GM thing, I mean, that's all these GMs are across the country. That's all they're doing. They're like Shaq is going to be. What do you think he's there for? Like he's there to get people excited and donate money. Of course, that's what's happening. And I think it's fun that it's happening. I have no problem with it. I didn't even know Kansas was in the market for one.
I don't think they're out of the realm of possible. I mean, like I asked Bill about it back in March. He wasn't sure if he'd bring out a GM or not, but I don't think it's completely out of the question that that could happen. But I mean, like, you know, Bill like wants somebody that he can tell what to do and they'll do it. And I think that's the big thing is they don't want to bring out a GM where they supersede Bill Self.
I think there would be plenty of those guys out there, but you also don't want to waste your time. I mean, it needs to be splashy. It can't just be a former player that's not doing anything right now. That's interesting. I'll have to think about that now. Who would be the best Kansas GM? Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Find all of Shreyas' work on X at SHRE98. Find it all at the KC Star, that mailbag you mentioned, all the latest on what's left out in the portal for KU Hoops. Shreyas, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that'll do it for a Wednesday on Sports Daily. Thanks to Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, for hopping on with us. Thanks to Shreyas Latta, our KU insider, for jumping in as well. You can catch both of those if you missed them on the Odyssey app anytime you'd like. Plus the other discussions, including many on the Kansas City Royals Red Hot. We'll continue to watch the NBA and NHL playoffs tonight. It's all coming for you. Royals baseball right here. 6:30 pregame coverage begins on KFH. We appreciate everybody for being with us. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.